Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network,
home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
I'm Tom.
And for this Christmas episode, we watched Gremlins. Gremlins is a 1984 American comedy horror film directed by Joe Dante and written by Chris Columbus. The story follows Billy Peltzer, who is given a strange but adorable pet mogwai named Gizmo for Christmas from his father. But when he inadvertently breaks the three important rules of caring for a mogwai, he unleashes a horde of mischievous gremlins that wreak havoc on the town of Kingston Falls on Christmas Eve.
Merry Christmas, boys.
Oh, Merry Christmas. You.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
You ever buy me one of those fuckers for Christmas?
Ah,
I'll kill you both.
This would have been a massively popular toy, right?
Well, it led to the Furby.
That's I'm looking at it really? Like this is just a Furby. Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Now that makes sense. Yeah. My brother had a Gizmo doll.
Okay.
Like a stuffed Gizmo, but no, that actually tracks that it became the Furby because it's the design's the same and is secretly Satan, like all Furbies.
It's fucking horrendous. So actually, I looked at a mogwai is, I think it was a Cantonese for the devil.
Oh
yeah.
Oh,
so
fair enough.
Furbies are the devil.
Gizmo is a scaredy boy toy, I reckon.
Yeah.
Like if you're a brave boy, you've got a Spike.
Fuck Spike.
Yeah, Spike's a massive piece of shit.
It's look. Context, boys. We've talked about our history with horror across this show. And Damo, famously, your scaredy origin story revolves around the film Hannibal.
Yeah.
In which you read a book instead of watching that movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is my origin story.
Okay. Oh, strange.
Gremlins was my movie. It terrified me as a child.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, and I think because it terrified me as a child, it was my younger brother's favorite movie. He loved it. I reckon I've seen it too many times.
Right.
I would often leave the room when he'd put it on. Just
your younger brother. Is he braver than you?
No, because he doesn't like horror.
Yeah, right.
I don't know what it was about Gremlins. I think because he was young enough when he watched Gremlins, I think, to be like, oh, they're fun and no consequences.
You know,
I was old enough to be like, oh, they're evil and terrible. The gremlins kill people.
Yeah, no consequences is wild for his little child brain.
There's a body count to this movie.
He loved it. So that traumatized me watching it so many times and having nightmares about it. And he loved it. And if he wanted me to leave the room because he wanted to do something, he just put Gremlins on.
Yeah,
because he knew I'd leave because he's a little bastard. And then had a very traumatic experience on the Gremlins ride at Warner Brothers Movie.
That'll do it.
Which was just terrifying.
It just cemented your fear.
Yeah, because the way that ride's set up is that you go and watch a movie and then the gremlins attack. And I was like young enough to not understand that wasn't real.
Did your brother get scared from that?
No.
Oh, damn it. I really wanted him to.
How old were you?
Roughly.
Actually, I can tell you how old I would have been.
That's good. I'd like to know.
So that was the question. It was the year 2000.
Okay. Yeah.
So I would have been maybe 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone was terrified about the end of the world.
Yeah.
And Tom was terrified about gremlins.
No, I remember this because it was the Sydney Olympics are on. Yeah, and we know that I measure things in Olympics.
In the Olympics.
Gremlins was your 9/11.
Oh my God, that's a big call.
But this was went on that ride because it was a family trip. Like the whole family, like uncles, aunts, right. We all went on a road trip to Queensland. We stayed in the same hotel. We spent like 2 weeks up there over the Olympics and like went on all the theme park rides.
So wait, Sydney Olympics and you guys head up to Queensland?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's actually really smart because all the tourism would have gone to Sydney.
Yeah.
Queensland's actually empty for us.
Yeah, it was a great time.
Clever from the Reed clan.
Yeah,
very
clever.
Didn't
know they had it in
there. Yeah.
It's funny, you go on these massive holidays with your cousins, with your whole family, like when you're a kid.
Yeah.
And then you'd never really see it again unless you watch Home Alone.
Yeah, well, that's it. It doesn't really, you don't see those in plot points anymore.
No. Mm. It was such a 90s or 80s sort of thing. People don't do it anymore, maybe, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, you can't do it. You haven't been able to do it for the last couple of years for fairly obvious reasons.
Yeah,
that'll do it.
But the ride itself was scary, but the bit that was terrifying is there are two gremlins, one of which, so Spike obviously shows up throughout the ride, terrifying, terrified of Spike from the first film. In the sequel, there is a spider gremlin.
Oh, no.
Oh.
That lives in a tunnel.
What? What's and a spider gremlin?
It's a gremlin with a gremlin up top and a spider back half.
Oh that's, yeah, no, nah, that would fuck me.
Yeah, and that's a big feature of the ride, as well as a gremlin that sings. Ooh. There's like a crooner Frank Sinatra gremlin. He's in Gremlins 2 as well.
Okay.
And he sings New York, New York.
That doesn't seem too bad.
No, that seems bearable.
But yeah, and there's a hot lady gremlin from Gremlins 2 as well.
Oh, lady gremlin. Yeah, yeah. He goes down on a guy, I think, in the sequel.
Maybe, yeah.
From my memory, and I watched this a long time ago, from my memory, that's my lasting memory of Gremlins 2 is there's a scene where like the dicky rich businessman is in the bathroom and Lady Gremlin attacks him and then she kind of goes down and he has a face like, oh, I'm getting head from a gremlin right now.
Well, it's one of those things where like people talk about the female Ghostbusters movie shitting on the Ghostbusters and you're like, you mean the movie where Dan Aykroyd gets his dick sucked by a ghost? But it was a serious, powerful... No, it wasn't. It was a dumb comedy in
it
which a ghost
a
sucked a man.
It was a pillar of cinema.
Oh, I love it. Look, Ghostbusters.
I'd forgotten that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen Gremlins 2, but I've seen Joel Dusha's review of it, which is like, don't fuck Gremlins. So I assume something's going
down. Yeah. I mean, don't fuck Gremlins. But yeah, Gremlins 1 terrified me. Yeah. The ride had a lot of Spike on it. He is a nightmarish thing. But the thing that scared me was at the end of the ride, some staff member hosting the ride jumps out to scare people at the end of the ride. And I'd let my guard down.
Oh, see this.
Because I thought the ride was over.
Yeah. This has affected your entire life, Tom.
Yeah.
Because this is your pet hate in a film.
Yep.
When everything's over and then they do a cheap jump scare right at the end.
Absolutely, Sean. Because at the end of the ride, Gizmo saves the day.
Right.
And the ride ends with all the gremlins have been defeated. Yep. Beetlejuice is there for whatever reason.
And Gizmo doesn't give a fuck.
Gizmo is singing his little lullaby that he sings.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the doors opened and this dude was like, did you have a good time? And
how rude.
Look, boys, today's episode is bringing up a lot of things.
My scaredy boy persona, the traits that I have because of a scaredy boy, extends to rides. I don't go on them.
Yeah, did I?
When I was a kid, never went on any of that shit. Too scared. Haunted house? Haven't done it. Probably did one, and it's probably in the egg.
Yeah, I've done a Van Helsing one at Universal Studios.
Ooh.
Which?
So, what year did you say you went to Movie World? About 2001. Because I'm trying to remember when I went. Because when I went, it was the Enter the Matrix was like the big thing there, which was great and not scary at all.
So awesome.
Lovely.
Green Lantern ride didn't exist. The Lethal Weapon was still the Lethal Weapon. I think it's a different ride now.
Yeah.
And the Wild Wild West was new.
Yeah.
Like that was when I went. Like that was the new.
They're
ride.
Really committing rides to movies that don't deserve. We've got Greenland and Wild Wild West in there.
I'm just thinking about how dumb it is to go somewhere like Movie World when you have no interest in rides. Like my dad must have been like, "Why the fuck am I here?
Yeah,
what are we doing?"
Did you go on any rides or just?
Oh, if I did, there would have been the really like not fucked ones.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
I had a similar experience. My auntie took me to Luna Park. So she lived near St Kilda. Took me to Luna Park.
Yeah.
I think my parents like split all us kids up for that. They'd gone on a holiday. And each of us stayed with different aunties and uncles. Yeah. That's the thing. And I refused to do any rides. I remember doing like the squirt gun into like Clown Mouth or the ball into Clown Mouth.
Yeah.
Came out with a little plastic toy. That was me done for the day.
That's brave by you because the clown, scary.
Yeah, pretty scary.
You shot it in the mouth. Well done.
You got them wet. Speaking of getting them wet, Gremlins.
Yes.
Hey, Damo, had you seen it as a kid?
That's a good question because I can't... I'm going to say no. I don't think I remember seeing this as a kid. I remember watching it like 18 or something like that. And that's when I watched Gremlins 2 as well. But actually, something I wanted to ask you guys is, obviously, we're plugging this as a Christmas movie, and there's obviously a lot of discourse around Christmas movies. What do you guys think constitutes a Christmas movie?
Christmas setting.
Yeah.
Christmas music.
Yep.
Christmas vibe.
Christmas is an event that is occurring in the film. There is Christmas. Like, I would argue that, like, Iron Man 3, Christmas movie, it takes place in the lead up to Christmas.
It is, but on the lower end, I would think.
Yes. Oh, there's a scale.
Because it's not really, Christmas is not relevant to the story at all.
To the plot, yeah.
No. Yeah. I know the common one is Die Hard.
And it is.
And it's 100% a Christmas movie. It's on Eve. Christmas Eve. Guy comes home for Christmas to see the family. He's at an office Christmas party. It's a Christmas movie. It's got Christmas songs. It's a big Christmas movie.
Yeah. Massive Christmas movie. Yeah, this is a big Christmas movie because Gizmo's an early Christmas present as well.
The tree's up. There's constant Christmas chat.
Yep.
There's Christmas songs in Christmas it.
And there's even like little Christmas, like there's that Mrs. Deagle, who's basically like a Scrooge. And that first scene where she's acting super Scroogey, there's even like a little family and there's a little boy who's coughing who's basically fucking Tiny Tim.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Where she's trying, she wants to evict them. She's basically Ebenezer Scrooge.
Right.
So it's a Christmas carol, and instead of ghosts, she's visited by gremlins.
Yeah. Chuck her out a window.
Absolutely cops it.
Cops it big time. Well deserved.
Yeah, everyone, I tell you
She threatened a dog.
Yeah.
When you threaten to kill a dog, you deserve to get fucking catapulted out of a window.
She didn't just threaten, she was hung up on the fucking
fence. Fuck, I forgot about that. Yeah. Fuck. I think in my head watching it, I was like, oh, maybe the gremlins did that.
No.
That's definitely her.
Definitely her.
That is fucking...
Yeah.
Oh.
Joey Dante is going hard.
Yeah.
I had to do a bit of a double take when she did get killed because she's obviously wearing a wig and stuff when you see her in the film. So for me, I'm kind of, hang on a sec, is that... That's her, yeah?
Yeah,
and
I was like, I wanted to confirm that.
Yeah.
As well as because she had all these cats. And I'm like, hold on, I guess
they're making the
dogs,
whole,
but you like cats. But I'm like, no, this bitch doesn't care about any animal or anything.
I was a bit confused at first. Yeah. I was like, is that supposed to be the same? I think we got near the end and I turned to my girlfriend and said, oh, I really wish that woman had copped it. She's like the villain
she
of the movie.
She cops it heaps.
But she did.
She went out a window.
But see, other people cop it who don't deserve it.
Yes. Can we just quickly say, those cops are so shit at their job. They watch the guy dressed as Santa.
Yeah.
They watch him get murdered and they just roll the window up and drive away.
Yeah.
They're terrible.
Have a little panic attack.
Like, yeah, fuck. Yep.
It's a movie that in the time-honored Christmas tradition of violent retribution of the Home Alone. Like, it's similar year-ish around that era. Like, it's a movie that... Rewatching it as an adult, there are things that like still spook me, and I still don't love Gremlins.
Yeah,
but I can appreciate its commitment to a Sam Raimi level of super ridiculous violence.
Oh yeah, it goes for it.
And the sequence where the Gremlins are getting smashed in the pub and then go to the movies as an adult now, fun sequence, terrifying to me.
Aged
anywhere between 5 and 25.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, so Joe Dante wanted it to actually... He almost wanted an R-rated movie originally, right? And then Spielberg comes on board and basically goes, no, we can make this a family movie. Throw a cute puppet in there. Like, basically, so Gizmo wasn't going to be there the whole time. He was going to become Spike originally.
Okay.
Right. And then Spielberg was like, I did E.T. a couple of years back. People love a cute thing. Let's keep him in there the whole way. That way we can sell a bit of merch.
On your Spielberg.
Yeah. Big call.
As well as, like, change it into the family-friendly movie it now is. Dante originally wanted the Gremlins to kill the dog and decapitate the mum's head and throw it down the stairs.
No. The mum is... the biggest weapon in the whole film.
She's a jet.
It's
so good.
That's when the movie really ramps up a level, I think.
Yeah.
In the space of probably like 90 seconds, she just goes on a murderous spree.
She's incredible. Great. She
gets like 4 in 4 minutes. It's unreal. Great. It's incredible.
Actually, it's one of the things that bothers me a little bit about the movie is just that typical like sideline the mum because she's the fucking best.
Yeah.
You don't ship her off to the doctor, the neighbor. Yeah. Bring her along with you because she is your best bet of like winning this.
Yeah, they need
it's kind of like, you know, when we watch Fright Night, the remake with Toni Collette.
Yeah.
And they just sidelined her. Don't do that because she was actually like a really capable character.
Yeah.
It's just annoying. Are they trying to make it harder for the kid, I guess?
I guess.
Is it too easy because the mum's so fucking good? She'll just beat Spike immediately.
Problems.
Spike will see her and shit his gremlin-y little pants.
Yeah.
It's very funny just that there's two deaths in this that I think are iconic. The first one is old mate getting fired out of a Stairmaster.
Yeah.
Like that's an iconic one. The other one is, of course, the gremlin in the microwave.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just so good.
You love to see it.
It's one that, like, that's when I love the movie the most, is when we start winning.
Yeah, yeah.
It's when we start fighting back against these horrid little monsters.
With Dad's fucked inventions.
Oh, yes, just...
Yeah. I love that Dad's inventions kept coming up the whole way through the movie.
Yeah. Yep.
It wasn't like, oh, this is a one-and-done gag. We're going to keep bringing these fucking things up. Yeah. I love that.
I kind of love how much the wife was just sort of like, she just loves the inventions.
Yeah.
Like... I thought there might be a point in the movie where she just cracks the shits and goes, fuck, nothing in this house ever works.
Yeah, yeah.
She just fucking loves
it. She goes for it.
She loves her husband and she loves his invention. That's why she married him.
Yeah.
Just while we're talking on it being family friendly and there's some gory deaths, there is maybe one of the most fucked things ever in a family slash kids film set at Christmas.
Yeah, is it the girl's?
It is the girlfriend's story about her dad dying in the chimney.
It's horrifying.
It is crazy. It
is maybe the alt, like the backstory of I Hate Christmas. Could be anything. You got a deadbeat dad. Yeah, he was never there.
Yeah.
It's out of nowhere. Yeah. I thought she was literally going to be like, yeah, my dad went out to buy cigarettes and never came back on Christmas Eve. Now I hate Christmas. No, dad fucking cracked his neck dressed as Santa coming down the chimney with presents and died.
And we found him days later because the smell alerted us to him.
And her line of, and that's how I knew Santa wasn't real.
Yeah.
That's fucked.
Yeah.
It's actually, like, it's good,
but
it doesn't feel like it belongs to this movie.
Well, so I've got another fact about that also. So basically, that speech unsurprisingly proved to be very controversial. Studio executives were not up for it. They wanted it removed. They felt it was too ambiguous whether it was meant to be funny or sad. But then Joe Dante basically was very stubborn about it because for him, that represented the whole movie. It is both funny and sad. Mm. Like, there is a weird, dark humor to it. So even Spielberg was sort of like not 100% on board. But for this one, he's like, well, Dante, it is his project. Ultimately, we'll keep it in.
I like that from Spielberg.
Yeah.
He's backed in the director because he's making a very personal thing, I guess.
Mm.
It's fucked.
I actually don't like hearing that from Dante. I'm like, I kind of get it because, like, literally, when Holly and I were watching, we're like, do we laugh? Like, I don't, like, it's so, so proper. Like, well, not even so proper. It's such so dark humor.
Mm.
But it's like, yeah, it's kind of like.
It's the bit that it's bleak and bleak and bleak until she says, and that's how I knew Santa wasn't real. That's the joke.
I don't know if that's the joke. That's the beauty of the scene, I think, because at that point, you're probably like, oh, this is fucked. And she says that, and you go, oh, it's really sad.
Yeah, it actually grounds it a bit in a terrible way. Yeah,
it's sad, but that's the funny part, because it's almost like a throwaway of like, yeah, my dad died, but also that's how I learned, like, finding in my dad's body in the chimney made me realize that Santa wasn't real.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, she also absolutely cops it, just working by herself in the bar.
I got to know. That's fucking funny. She's continuing to serve them.
Yeah, she keeps setting up the drinks.
Putting nuts out top and drinks up.
Lighting cigarettes.
Yeah.
Oh, but where she's lighting their cigarettes and she learns that, again, great thing about this movie that I love.
Yes.
But I do have a bone to pick with it, is we get the rules.
Yeah.
And the rules are really clear so that when you're fighting them, you know what you need to do. Don't get them wet. We learn quickly. If you get them wet, they multiply. So you're like, all right, water bad.
Yeah.
But light and heat, they hate.
Yeah.
So sun,
were the rules a Spielberg afterthought? Because the way they shot it, it feels like, oh, hang on, we need to just tack on a voiceover that explains the rules real quick. Like, they didn't do it within the scene when he's getting Gizmo. As he's walking off, it's like the kid's voiceover being like, oh, one more thing, three quick rules.
Yeah.
It feels like Spielberg watched it and went, we need boundaries.
There were a few cook things. Like, even the way it started very noir, we're in these, like, the back streets of Chinatown.
Yep.
We're getting dad's voiceover. He's in a fucking trench coat and a trilby.
His voiceover doesn't come back until the end, and I'd forgotten that he was doing a voiceover.
You're like, is he the main character somehow? Like, what's going on over here?
It's a wild movie, but I respect some of his choices, but the rules are great. However, this is the thing that kept me awake as a child.
Yeah.
One of the key rules is do not feed them after midnight.
Yeah.
If you feed them after midnight, they turn into the gremlins. When can you feed them again?
It's always after midnight.
Once it hits midnight, by, say, when the sun comes up, can I feed them again? Is that?
I guess that's probably the presumption. Logic. Yeah.
That's a very flawed rule.
I mean, my brain, my terrified brain, I'd be like, Gizmo would be okay. I could look after Gizmo. I wouldn't get him wet. I wouldn't do any of that shit. But then I'd be like, well, when do I feed him?
What does he drink too? What do you feed him?
Anything.
There's a lot. Oh. Mm. I even just watch this and go, shouldn't they, like, technically when they're walking or rolling around in the snow, shouldn't they start to multiply?
Yeah. I guess probably. It needs to be a liquid.
Maybe it needs to be liquid.
Yeah. But if their body temperature's making, good point.
But again, I love that those rules come back in beautifully in that final act where it's like, well, he's trying to get in the pool.
Yeah.
If he gets to the pool, you fucked.
Yeah.
Best shot in the whole film is that pool when he gets in and just the camera comes back and everything's going off and it's
great. Oh, my
God. That's where the money went. That's great. Yeah. Fantastic.
And then, the final scene where he's trying to get to the fountain.
Yeah.
Tom, you're obviously a shark boy, but you love the swimming pool.
Yeah.
Did it scare you off the swimming pool at all?
Well, no. Because I'm scared of gremlins. I'm not scared of pools.
Okay. Yeah. While we're on the rules, so I did also read that the no bright lights rule, they basically brought that in because this is 1984, special effects weren't as good as we're used to. These are used a lot of puppets. So they purposely kept it dark. So it would hide a lot of the shit special effects we were seeing.
They look good.
Yeah, they look great. Well, for the 80s.
It actually does the Jaws effect of you're actually hiding it a lot of the time, which makes it more scary.
Well, the fact that they create such a good image of the giant ears and the claws, and the amount of times you just see a silhouette.
Yeah.
Or like just the eyes.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Evil Muppets, man.
Yeah, this has got big Spielberg sort of vibes.
Huge.
You asked about Christmas as well earlier. What constitutes a Christmas film? I think it's Chris Columbus as well.
Yeah.
Everything the guy does. Like, I mean, he's responsible for Home Alone.
Yeah.
Yep.
This. The first two Harry Potters have a real Christmas vibe to them, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
In fact,
they
didn't say... I was going to say he did Hook, but that was Spielberg. Maybe he wrote it.
Mm.
Everything, even the non-Christmas things he does, Columbus has like a Christmas vibe to him, I think.
His name is very close to... Chris Kringle too. Chris
it's
Columbus.
Got the alliteration. Yeah.
It all checks out. I think this is this kind of era filmmaking too is again terrifying, but you look back at it and you go, fuck, it was good. Because it's like it's Spielberg, it's Dante, it's Columbus. Like it's these guys who are at the top of their game making family
cooked family shit.
Well, I look at like cinema now.
Yeah.
It's MCU or bust.
Yeah, right.
Like, you don't really have I don't know if this movie would get made now.
Oh, no, don't, no way. Like, it fascinates me. It's such an interesting 80s era where, whether it was cocaine or what, but like these cooked family movies, like what was the other one we did? Monster Squad.
Yeah.
Cooked. Goonies. Completely cooked. Even Fright Night's pretty fucking cooked. I don't know if you count that as a family movie, but like,
super horny.
It's just like these crazy movies. You're watching it now as an adult going, how? How was this ever put into production?
And then you think, oh, well, obviously, as time goes on, we'd be more likely to make those movies. No.
No.
The bigger studios have become, like, this whole thing at the moment, and this is the weirdest tangent, but the whole thing at the moment of Disney burying a lot of their Fox slate releases,
that
just pushing out to nowhere or they're putting it on streaming. And it's like, Gremlins would either have not been made or would have been buried in the middle of like April or something.
Yeah, right.
February, April release. No one's going to see it or it's on streaming.
Yep. So this actually got a June release, right? Obviously a Christmas movie.
Summer blockbuster.
Yeah, well, so basically it was going up against Ghostbusters. It was actually going up against...
Oh, wow.
And I can't remember which studio it was that was making this one. They realized, oh, we don't have anything to go up against these Ghostbusters. We want to like bring them down. Let's rush Gremlins and release it in June or whatever because instead of saving it for Christmas.
Fucking hell.
Which I think is probably part of the reason why people might be like, oh, no, it's not a Christmas movie. It came out in fucking June. No, it's a Christmas movie. On the Christmas movie thing, I have one more thing I want to say about that. I actually think any movie can be a Christmas movie. If you want to create your own tradition where you watch the same movie every fucking Christmas, you do that. Life is short. It's sometimes hard. Huh. Love movies. Watch a Christmas movie, whatever it may be. So
saying is the cinematic masterpiece, the 2017 The Mummy, could become a Christmas movie.
Mate, it could be if you want it to be. Okay. It can be anything, including five stars.
Hey, look, while we're on that, Dark Universe, watch 0 Days. So still no Dark Universe, but again, like I promised in that episode, I will keep you informed of any Dark Universe news. Okay. There is none.
His nose is to the ground. He's searching hard.
He's sniffing away.
Yeah, mate.
what are they hiding?
It feels like it's crazy that in an era of like reboots and remakes, that Gremlins hasn't had something like that.
Yeah.
Because it feels like a movie, a legacy sequel where Billy is an adult.
Right. Well, there's going to be an animated series, apparently. I saw this when I was doing some research, but I don't know exactly when it's coming out or if like it was said, we're doing it, and then who knows? I've got one more fact for us before we get into our questions because it's just too good of a fact not to say. So there was this guy, Chris Wallace, who I think was part of the production company, who suggested they use puppets instead of the proposed stop motion idea. So originally they're going to do stop motion. And then as a compromise, the studio suggested a spider monkey in a suit. And so this was tested at Joe Dante's office. The monkey went crazy, literally tore the office apart, defecated everywhere. And then Dante screamed at the trainer to get the animal out of there and then turned to Wallace and said, so, puppets?
That is outstanding.
Again, this is like 80s glory of like a studio saying, can't we just put a monkey in a suit?
They were like, oh, how do we do the Gremlins? Hang on a second. Monkey in a suit.
Spider monkey. That kind of looks like Gremlins. Yeah. Put a spider monkey in there. Like, just madness.
That's actually so good, and what I want to watch now is that version of Gremlins. I wouldn't have been traumatized as a kid if that's the version of Gremlins I got.
But just be shitting everywhere.
I also like, just on the idea of the Gremlins thing, because the idea of a Gremlin has been around since like the 40s, of like when planes would break or cars would break, and that...
Yeah, Gremlins guy, in the system.
Yeah, the guy,
the racist neighbor.
Yeah. Who's like, Gremlins, that's what happens, that's what happens. And then, of course, he's the only one who believes in him and doesn't really matter because
He cops it. So does his poor wife. She's just trying to enjoy Christmas.
Married a racist. That's true. She had it coming.
So many people cop it.
Yeah.
Steamroller, tractor, fucking thing.
Yes. He deserved to cop it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I feel like they made him just racist enough that we didn't care so much.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that thing of there's some people who cop it who don't deserve it.
Mm.
Most of the people who cop it, though, 100%.
It's the way it should be.
Yeah. I think that was the Spielberg effect as well, yeah. To be honest.
Yeah. Although there's a few innocent people who cop it just in the street when they take over the streets.
Yeah, but we don't know.
That's what happens, you know, when the gremlins get loose, mate.
That's true.
You have to cop that. It's Spielberg, absolutely fucking true. Spielberg is a weapon. I'll just put that on record. I'll be brave enough to say it. he's maybe one of the best of all time.
What a hot take.
Yeah. Hilariously, I read a thing the other day where someone's like, Spielberg has been so good for so long
that he's now the benchmark.
That's the norm.
Yeah, yeah.
So many times he just does his thing. It's like, oh, yeah, that's what a good movie should be. It's like, yeah, yeah, but he made...
Yeah,
he's the reason the benchmark is there.
Yes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Exists. All right, boys, were we scared?
100%.
Yeah.
Still am.
I'm going to say yes, too. So my reason for why yes, and it again fits into all the movies of this era, where because they're still using live-action effects, they've obviously got the puppets, they've got, like, there's a level of grossness about movies from this era that doesn't exist. Like, it's a grossness that is, like, I know it's fake. It's almost like it's gross because it's trying to be gross, but it also fits into, like, the Uncanny Valley or something like that. Yep. It's like this double layer of grossness that, as well, it's probably the grossness we saw as kids, so I think it has that effect also.
Yeah, you know what it is. It's the grossness that you go, it's fake, it's movie magic, but it's practical movie magic.
And
whereas
you know
now
it's
would
fake.
Be CGI and your brain would be like, oh, it's a computer effect.
Right.
But this is like disgusting
There's
slime
a reality
and
to
blood
it.
And
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, if you see slime, you could touch it and it would feel disgusting. Well,
gunk and stuff hits people. People are covered in goop and spat out drinks and...
Yeah. Even like Gizmo's little bubbling back when he shoots out the original other Mogwai... That was disgusting. And then they start growing. These furry things start... Mm. It was rank.
The cocoons as well. They look fucking awful.
Thank you. And the cocoons are up in the attic. And everyone is very chill about it. Mum's like, oh, okay. I'll go back and start cooking. Like, why does no one freak out about these fucking cocoons?
Get them out of the house. They reminded me of Alien.
Yeah, burn it. Yeah. Burn them down.
Well, that would have solved the whole problem. If they'd set them on fire, but I guess they don't know.
No, that's very true.
They've forgotten the rules or...
And dad, well, no. I do like that dad's away.
That's right.
Well, like dad's away, and I like that he took the dog with him.
Yes.
Get it out of there.
I don't want even the hint of his
That's dog the scariest him. Aspect.
Yeah.
Threats to the dog.
Yeah.
Well, not even from the gremlins.
Yeah.
From
yeah,
old mate.
Fucking neighbor, yeah.
She sucks.
Rest in hell.
When the gremlin, when Spike jumped into the pool, because Mum killed four in 4 minutes, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a fucking short runtime. Mum's knocking them down. We've only got Spike left.
Yeah.
Jumps in the pool. I could not remember that we got to the hundreds of gremlins stage. I literally had forgotten that entirely. Yeah. And so all of a sudden I was like, oh, shit just got very real very quick.
Yeah, he's actually a really great antagonist because he's clever.
Yeah.
Like they're all chaos and violence, but when they decide to burn the cinema, he's the one who realizes what's happening. Yeah. The others are all just like, cooked and off their heads. And he's like, nah, something's happening here. So he leaves.
Yeah. Oh, no, he went out earlier for candy.
Yeah, right.
Which at the time, I'm like, as if Spike wouldn't order someone to go get him more candy. Yeah, he goes and it's empty because they've eaten the whole place out. So he goes across the street.
That's right.
And then he sees it. And yeah. He is way too keen on guns.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like, that shocked me. You wouldn't do that in a kid's movie anymore either.
No.
It's just aiming guns and shooting people. It's fucked.
Well, I mean, he's bad.
He is, I reckon, one of the best villains of the 80s.
He really is.
Seriously, he's a fantastic villain.
He's clever. He's also...
He's disgusting. He's fucked up.
He gets wet. Fucked.
There's fucking water everywhere, dude. Yeah.
What does he want? Just wants chaos.
Yeah.
Just wants utter chaos. Yeah, that's a good point.
He just wants to break things and hurt people. He doesn't actually... There's no...
Spike walked so the Joker could run. Okay?
Spike is Joker Gremlin.
He's like, again, he's like those great villains, like your Michael Myers and all those guys. He's just an unstoppable force.
Yeah.
But the difference between him and one of them is that he's fast.
Yeah.
And just a real fucking cunt.
Yeah.
Fuck, he's cheeky.
He's a cheeky boy.
Hate him.
Yeah.
So Gizmo's the only, like, actual good one.
Well, yeah, here's what I don't understand, right? So, like, he's obviously a good boy. We like him. He's cute, whatever.
Yep.
Has a little snuggle in bed. Great. But then he obviously pops out a few more Mogwai, and they're kind of pricks already. Like, even as Mogwai, they're still a bit shit.
I think that's the point. I think it's don't get them wet, because this one's good, but they're not good. They're literally, what, Cantonese for devil?
Yeah.
You know, my theory is that, if you make another one, it won't be as good as Gizmo. Gizmo's
it's like second generation
kind.
Mogwai's are real bastards.
Maybe it's just a case of the Chinese man exterminated all of them, but couldn't bring himself to do it because he had one little sweet boy.
Gizmo is a good boy.
So he's just, that's the only one that can live.
Yeah,
that sings his beautiful little song.
Yeah, and he's protecting him because he knows if it gets out, it's bad.
I love, too, that the whole resolution is that he comes back and he's so angry with them.
Yeah.
It's like, you fucking idiots. I gave you three rules.
Just throws the money down.
Yeah.
All right, did they act wisely or foolishly?
They didn't.
No, they just...
Yeah. This movie was, like, made for acting foolishly. There are three very clear rules and very quickly break all the mic. And I do like this movie goes to the effort of, like, setting it up that, the clock was broken so they didn't know it was after midnight, that sort of a thing. But...
Yeah, initially they spilled the water accidentally, but then when he takes him to the science teacher and they're dripping water on.
Yeah.
The science teacher's a dipshit as well, to be honest. He should be the intelligent one.
Yeah.
And he's a dickhead.
Yeah.
He cops it though.
He literally just feeds it.
Big time. I want to see to see his head ripped off. I mean, I assume it was, but I wanted to see it.
Yeah, he's an idiot because while the others are accidents, he actively creates a gremlin.
Yes.
Because he does it in testing scenario where he creates a replicated gremlin, then feeds it. That whole sequence.
Did he get told the rules? Or does he only know the wet one?
I feel like he didn't get told the rules.
No, that's bad,
to be honest.
Billy.
Yeah.
Billy's a bit of a dipshit.
Billy is real dumb. Billy's just like an innocent idiot. I kind of like him a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's real dumb.
Yeah.
He's a stupid boy.
He's a stupid boy, but I feel like he's a good boy.
he is a good boy. He fights bravely. He loves Gizmo. I think everyone acts foolishly except Gizmo. And the reason for that is that Gizmo... Boys, I've got something I want to pitch to you.
Okay.
Fast and Furious 10.
Is this because he drove a car?
Yes!
Yeah, he did it very well.
He loves driving.
I love that,
He lives his life a quarter of a quarter mile at a time.
Yeah. I love that he goes up the shovel, up the ramp.
Right.
And like, here we go. And then he just crashes.
even the car thing. So obviously, Gizmo, like I said, he wasn't originally meant to be the whole way through. Spielberg added that on. And so there's a lot of him being in the backpack, and there's a lot of him being in that car.
Yeah.
Because his puppet was actually never really made to be a regular puppet. And the puppeteers hated Gizmo. Like, because he just the puppet was so poorly made, it like never really worked as well as any
it'll turn into Spike. So they put all this energy
Exactly right. And so literally they had like a list of things we want to do to Gizmo that were very bad, including the dartboard scene, which is why the dartboard scene exists in there, of them throwing darts at Gizmo.
I hate that scene.
Because the puppeteers hated Gizmo so
much.
Oh,
that's so funny.
That scene makes me sad.
Yeah.
Oh.
I also love, for Billy, right, they've even set up that he's a fucking idiot, like, and a bad pet owner. When he's got the dog, Barney, and he brings him to work, and Barney's like a loose unit, he does whatever he wants. And I love that they set up, hey, this guy's really bad with pets. Now let's give him the worst pet ever with three very hard and fast rules.
It's a nice thing where you as an audience are just like, oh no.
Oh, this chaos is coming.
It is a great introduction to like setting up who he is early enough so that you can then assume other things later.
Yes.
It's a very well done kind of trope.
While we're talking about good introductions and tropes, I want more movies of people buying random cursed shit from mystical stores.
I think that's great.
It's a genre that I love. We need to see more of.
I mean, in this one, it was very racist. There was like, it's obviously like him as like Asian mystic was very on the nose. But then even there was a thing where it says like, dragon breath, and then you hear gong, and you're like, oh my god. 80s didn't give a fuck.
No. The idea of your cursed objects being sold, like, what you want is someone who, you want, like, a shitty, like, pawn shop owner who doesn't know he's got cursed objects.
Oh, mate, yeah, that's it.
Or someone on eBay.
Someone from, like, a thrift store, basically.
Mm, yeah.
He's like, what's that? Oh, 50 cents, I don't care, take it. Like, whatever.
I came with these rules. Etched in blood and parchment. Anyway, have a good time.
Yep.
Use that tattoo gun wisely.
But no, look, yeah, pretty dumb all round. Obviously, like, we get the win at the end of the day, but like you said, that's actually from Gizmo, which that actually also, just one more thing about Spielberg, so he changed that as well. Originally, Billy was going to be the one who got the light. Obviously, he gets one, and then Gizmo comes through, jumps, gets the second one.
Yeah.
Gizmo's the real hero of the story. So the actor who's playing Billy didn't know that change had been made until he watched it in the cinemas. He's like, what the hell?
I thought I was going to be on stage like Gizmo. A dumb boy till the end.
Oh, that's so funny. Just him going in and being like, oh, I saved the day. He's brought like some date. And then the movie's rolling and the Gizmo saves the day. He's like, fucking puppets. Literally. Now, I like to imagine that Gizmo is, in this version, is similar to a Muppet, so has a real, is real. And over the years, like, there's a 20 years later, there's like a doc about the making of Gremlins, and like Gizmo and Billy had a falling out.
There's your reboot.
There you go.
Oh my god, yes. All right, boys, how would we do in this situation?
We'd stick to the rules, I reckon.
Look, I think here's my take on how we win the day.
Mm.
We need to get our mums in there.
True.
We need three tough mums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get three times mum. Problem sorted.
Any problem, really.
Yeah.
How come we haven't used this before? Fucking hell.
We can be back home and watch a movie.
We should defaults to mum. In any position, we're in trouble. We're like, oh, better call mum.
Blair Witch, meet our mums.
Yeah. Just while you're on Blair Witch, I was reading something today about the Blair Witch.
I regret this. Yeah, sorry.
I'm really nervous.
When it aired at Sundance, it did not have opening or closing credits, and it did not have the little doco bits at the start explaining the end.
Oh, shit.
So it just is, and the grading on it was worse. It was just someone's like, here's a VHS tape we found. We're going to do it this new movie. Check it out. Put it on. Oh, imagine if you'd gone to that.
That is fucked.
You just kill yourself.
Yeah.
You just throw yourself in front of a train. I'd walk out of the center and be like, I don't want to live in this world anymore. Ghosts are real.
I'd love if they tried to do the same thing with Gremlins. We just found this weird tape.
It's covered in goo. I think we would be able to beat the Gremlins. And the reason is that I've had to think a lot about how to kill a Gremlin.
Right. Poor little Tom's grown up thinking about if it happens, when it happens, I need to be ready.
I am prepared to kill so many Gremlins.
Good.
I will wade knee deep in their gooey, gooey blood, boys. Good. I think we'd follow the rules pretty strongly. Mm. Obviously, we do have to feed them after midnight. I think that's your kicking out.
We've got to get Gremlins.
Yeah.
But I think, we're not letting... That motherfucker's getting nowhere near that pool.
No.
Oh, no way.
Well, okay, so weapon choice. Obviously, if we're smart enough to think about the rules, and we're boys who love rules, so look, I hope that we are, and go, okay, we need bright lights. That leads to fire. That leads to happy everybody, especially Sean over here with a massive erection.
Honestly. When the mum sprayed him, just before she put him in, like, the microwave, I thought she was going to, like, light him on fire. It would have been incredible. It would have been fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Actually, them blowing up the cinema, it's tricky because it's, like, on the one hand, save the day, but you destroyed the silver screen.
Oh, that's true.
I think I'd have to get them out of there.
Right.
Got to protect cinema.
How do you lure them, though? What are you luring them with?
Candy.
Candy, yeah, that's true.
Some innocent person who's tripped over.
I feel like if Billy ran in there and went, hey, it's me, and they were like, oh, it's fuck him up, and they just chase you out.
That's true.
They just got attached to Snow White instead of the dwarves.
It's funny, I hadn't really thought about, there's like a weird vampire connection where they got to hide away during the daylight hours.
Yeah.
Because like that's why they're all in the cinema, because like, uh-oh, sun's coming up.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I hadn't thought of that either.
How about if you got them in the cinema, literally like, okay, they're all in the cinema? Great. We're going to very gingerly take the roof off the cinema, let them fry, pop them back on, silver screen saved, everyone's happy.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Just, it's easier to repair a hole in the roof than it is to...
a bird structure that does not exist anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We are depriving you of setting some shit on fire.
Yeah. Oh, look.
I mean, there's times in this movie where I'm like, if you had a flashlight, this would be so much easier.
Yeah, like
anytime you're in a fight with them, just turn the flashlight on. You get a few seconds while they're disorientated, and then you just bash them.
Yeah. Yeah, flashlight and then punch.
You got a baseball bat. You barely use it. You try to block a chainsaw with it.
Billy was such an idiot. He's such an idiot. Yeah. He's such a dummy.
He does cut the head off one.
Yeah.
You know when he comes, his mum's getting choked, and like right. He comes in. He takes too long to act.
Oh, yeah.
He really susses that scene
He's
out.
Really watching it, trying to figure out what's happening, because he's a dull boy.
It's like
boy.
He's working the angles. If I get the sword out, what angle do I have to hit it to get it in the fire?
And how hard was that sword set up as well? It's like, hey, guys, there's a fucking sword on the wall.
I would have liked a bit more foreshadowing of a few things.
Yeah,
even, like, you know, I would have liked at the start of the movie, him at school or something playing baseball with friends, and he's just shit at baseball.
It's so interesting.
Like, and it's embarrassing for him. And then at the end, he's got to actually hit a baseball
right.
or something.
Right, that would be nice. Like, we've got Chris Columbus, who literally, like we spoke about in another episode, Home Alone sets up every fucking little detail to an insane degree. Yeah. It's terrifying.
So
like,
satisfying.
It's so satisfying. Yeah. Did need a bit more of that. That's a good point.
They didn't. I mean, what are things they set up that was like his car didn't start and then it did start?
Yeah.
But then you lose respect for him immediately because he goes to the bar to grab, what's her name? Sorry? Kate.
Yeah.
Goes to the bar to grab Kate. And turns his fucking car off.
Right.
Grabs her and then, why won't the car start?
Guess what?
Got to go on foot. Like, just stuff like that.
Keep your car running, I guess they set up that, like, Kate works at the bar, but that's about, like, it's not,
So how old is she?
Not overly.
Well, that's something that's always blown my mind is that I'm always like, they're supposed to be, like, at high school together.
Yeah. But he works at a bank.
Actually,
he's a bank.
Yeah.
Are they at school? Yeah, no, they're at school, aren't they?
No, I don't think they are.
Oh, no, they're not.
They look like, it feels, I think, again.
It feels like they're 15.
Yeah. I think this is the weird disconnect of Spielberg coming in and changing this R-rated film. Of basically like, let's just pretend they're kids, even though they've actually over 18.
Maybe they're like 19. They've just left high school.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he says he's 20, actually.
Does he? Okay.
Yeah. Because fucking Judge Reinhold's in it, who... He looks like he's about 100 already.
Yeah.
And I think his character says that he's 22.
Right.
And he'll be manager of the bank by his 25.
Yeah.
So you've got to figure that Billy's around his age. Yeah. Okay, 20 or something.
Because, that was another thing. His whole storyline. His storyline doesn't finish. We don't really see him come back into the movie. But originally, he was going to, like, pair up. There's going to be the three of them fighting. Yeah. And, like, Dickhead was going to come good sort of thing.
Oh, okay. It didn't go that way.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, too. I actually would have liked to see him cop it, if anything.
Like, he's Dickhead.
Yeah, he's Dickhead.
He's a prick the whole movie.
Yeah.
Man, so, yeah, a lot of people do get away and... Don't cop it. You're right. It does feel like he should have.
It's like, again, it's like, it's a movie I really enjoy, but it's one of those confusing 80s movies where you're like, this is a cooker. It's mad. I love it. But if I need to really analyze it, I'm going to have a few issues come up because there are some things that don't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's a cooker. I'm trying to now remember. No, I'm thinking of Gremlins 2. Yeah, that's even more cooked. that literally, they're like, what if Gremlins were also other... it's at a TV. It's in New York, I think.
Okay. I can't actually
remember.
And
it's really in like a building that also is a TV studio. So there's like a cooking show.
Yeah, and that's sounding
familiar. The host of the cooking show is
a
Gremlin.
Is it a Christmas movie?
I don't think it's set at Christmas, no.
Might just have to do it as a regular app, I guess.
No, boys. I've had enough Gremlins to last me a very long time.
Give him a break.
We've got to give him another shark. BJ scene again. She's haunted my dreams for years in the best way. Got to see if it's worth it.
Those big gremlin lips.
And that is all the scary talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
And if you scary listeners would have any comments about this episode, would like to say hi, you can email us at 3scaredboys@gmail.com or you can find us on Twitter at scaredyboys or individually. I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Orchid Trade.
Stay scared, everyone.
Gremlins was your 9/11.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.